What's up, everybody? Welcome to Declarations of War. My name is Alexei Card. I am here with my co-host for this evening, Celine.
Good evening, all.
You will remember Celine from previous episodes. He is the founder of Mercenary Coalition and a former CSM chairman. Very nicely done, sir.
It's all about who you know.
And if you know enough people.
This is also true.
And if you're a famous person, and if the people you know are in Pandemic Legion, and lots of other things.
Yes. All of the above are true sometimes.
Let's be honest, during your term, I really made you look good.
I think it was mutual.
Okay. I'll let you believe that, boss.
You're a good man.
For shoutouts, I want to give a special shoutout to my Grammy Ida. The reason this episode is coming out now instead of a week ago is my grandmother passed away earlier this month, and I had to fly back to Philadelphia for her funeral, and that made recording the podcast logistically impossible. So, much love for her. It was good for my family to come together. I was glad that I was able to go. Very emotional for everybody involved, but she's in a better place now, and all that good stuff. So that I really wanted to dedicate this episode to her, and all that she's done for me and everybody in my family. Fantastic life.
Can I ask how old was she?
89.
Wow, now that's a life.
Mm-hmm. Well done, Grammy. Any shout-outs there, Celine?
Honestly, this week, I'm running kind of low on shout-outs. I think I'm just going to have to pass. Yeah, I know. It's terrible. It's been pretty hectic the last couple of weeks in and out of game, and I'm just kind of winging it. But I'll make up. I'll do double duty on the next episode.
Not even shout-outs to Fang and Saber. Wow.
No, not really. They should be here. They should be here.
That's true. They don't really deserve it.
So I'm not going to give them a shout out. No.
Is there other leaders of Mercenary Coalition that were supposed to? At least one of them was supposed to be here for this episode. Not here.
There's a lot doing. They're doing a deployment tonight, but I'm moving. I'm moving expensive stuff to a new place, and I'm still here.
Mm-hmm. You can still jump Sinos and warp the gates while you're on the podcast. I've done it. We've all done it. Hell, we did a podcast while we were doing a PvP room. That happened.
I'm sure that was entertaining.
I've got some good feedback on it. I think the next time we go out, though, if we ever do it again, just got to make sure there are more fights. Maybe do it at a different time of day when things are a little more active. It's kind of quiet. But it was a lot of fun going out with Turtle. For anyone who wants to get caught up on that, it is our 100th episode with the accompanying YouTube video of us doing a live roam as we did the show. We didn't actually get into anything, but we almost got a really cool fight that just didn't materialize the way we wanted it to. But if you ever wanted to see how Turtle and I used to fly together, it's a pretty good approximation, communication-wise. And we talked about a lot of great stuff in the show as well. And of course, I want to give a thanks to our sponsor, EveBet, eve-bet.com, New Eden's premier betting service, probably the best betting site out there, hands down. You can bet not just on Eve stuff like the Alliance tournament, although if you did bet on that, good luck to you. you can also bet on real-life sports that are have notoriously less reversals of the outcome. The NFL, NHL, all that kind of stuff. UFC you can bet on. And they also have some more casual games like blackjack and slots. They've handled hundreds of trillions in bets since opening, so they're definitely a place that you can put your trust in. And more is being added every week, new things that you can bet on. So go out there and check them out, eve-bet.com. We had a poll. What's the best BC after the rebalance? All the battlecruisers are getting a little bit of love. We had one vote for the Drake.
That's some horseshit, because I'm sorry. Drake, especially with the red paint job, is obviously one of the best.
I like the blue tiger one better, man. I gotta split with you on that.
I gotta admit, I'm torn because I'm throwing blue tiger on just about everything there is, but when it comes to the Drake, that red paint job is just really badass.
I would like it if it was a darker red, but it's just too candy cherry for me. I don't know.
Blue tiger is probably I haven't got to the point where I've spent real money yet, but that is definitely a badass color scheme.
Oh man, next time I'm going to Dita, I'm converting Plex like crazy. I've been loving these ship skins. As like dumb as it sounds, I've been spending incredible amounts of Aurum on them. I'm basically tapped out of all the free Aurum, so about 6,000 I think I spent. And I'm like anxiously awaiting the next time I can convert a Plex. Apparently you can't do it remotely. CCP, make that happen. You'll increase your revenue. I would have converted like 4 Plex by now for these new skins.
And it only took them 12 fucking years to realize all the money they could make off of letting people put a crayon on their ship.
I know. And I think the real thing that opened it up for me was when they started allowing skins on the T2s. Skin my zealot, like,
I'm
immediately.
Still really annoyed. I'm still really annoyed by the fact that I can't, of all the, you know, the difference, you know, the red tiger and the red skin, the blue tiger and the red skins are definitely, seems to be what most people are talking about. And I can, I wanted a red Cerberus, and I can't do that, and it's upsetting.
But you know, the green Cerb, I bought that for the period basis contract. It looks pretty good.
I just, the only problem I have with the wire Comey skins, or however the hell you pronounce it, is that against most of the space backgrounds, you can't really, it doesn't really stand out. You have to really close in on it, whereas like the red skins, it's like, you know, if you see like 30 ships with red skins, I mean, well, maybe it means something to newer players, but, you know, it looks scary.
But, dude, the bird of prey-ness of it, man. It looks exactly like the bird of prey, the fucking Klingons,
dude. Yeah.
It even has the foldy wings now.
Yeah, the first time, you know, and it was funny. The first time I was in a good-sized fleet of Serbs, and I saw those wings folding up in the warp, and then, you know, and then we were just anchored around, and we're just flying around this POS, you know, doing strafing runs. And it was just like, God, this looks fucking badass. I mean, that's exactly what I thought. It was like, you know, we're Klingons now.
But yes, the overwhelming majority, 64%, say the best battlecruiser after the rebalance is the Hurricane. The Kane, baby.
Which is probably accurate. It really is.
It definitely is accurate. The Kane got a massive buff. I looked at the numbers, though. It's not an unkillable monster. It's just, like, very competitive now. Which I think is a really good place for a ship to be in. And I think the same about the Drake. The Drake's range is actually pretty significant now. Just kind of nice. Has little extra bits around the fittings, which is cool. I have to go look at some of my Drake fits and rejigger them a little bit, because, like, I know at least one has, like, a nanofiber in the low, because it just didn't have the CPU for anything better, but now it kind of does, so.
FCs won't say no now. No, well, not all the time.
Can I bring my Drake? Yes. Yes, you can. You like that Star-Lord scene. Finally.
Yeah, finally.
Oh, man. But, yeah, we touched on it a little bit at the opening. The big story for us, the Alliance Tournament. Holy shit. So, basically, our winner's Pandemic Legion. Congratulations.
Even when we always win. Even when we lose, we still win.
Holy shit. So, basically, the tournament winners were found to have colluded with another team. Basically, the A and B team situation that we had in a previous Alliance tournament, which also resulted in those teams being disqualified. In this case, it was just more so. It was Warlords of the Deep and
Camel Empire.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, such a shame.
Hydromel, basically. And it wasn't really left much to the imagination, especially after the fail heap challenge post.
Yeah.
Did you see
that? Oh man. So
I mean, he literally came outright and said that this is Eve, and if you're not trying everything you possibly can up to and including this, then you're not trying hard enough. I found that to be quite an interesting declaration, which is, yeah, I mean, it's all well and good, but, you know, number one, you got caught, and number two, it is a tournament with some very specific rules about that sort of thing.
Yes, so extremely specific that that is not okay to do. Yet Kadesh is just like, eh, okay, I'm still going to do it. And his reasoning was, we are the best teams, but we also need to break the rules to beat everybody. Even though we could totally do it without that, we're still doing it. And I find this especially funny because, like, just like I think maybe a day before, or a few days before, he put out a post on the EVE Online forums. I categorically deny all allegations.
Oh my god!
Frankly,
yes.
I'm offended. You know that you would even suggest. And then it was like, yeah, we totally did it. Here's a gigantic confession post, with including my like internal rationalization for needing to cheat.
So let me ask you this: DHB Wildcat Hero. Yes or no?
My understanding is a douchebag in general, but I think that he is definitely a hero in this case. I've never had a problem with DHB. Let me be clear. I've heard a lot of people have had problems with him, but I think in this case, regardless of his reasons, I know Kadesh made claims, he put out his own thing, I don't really care who's right. Whether it was because he was getting kicked out or because he was mistreated or not, it was the right thing to do, one way or the other, and also a very dickish move. And there's nothing better than when being a dick is the right thing, you know? That's just the ultimate in Eve.
Well, I think everybody knows, you know, anybody that's been playing this game for any length of time knows that there's a certain meta with regard to, you know, how far you bend the rules, you know, such as they are, in order to achieve a win. But, and, I mean, I think everybody's also got their own kind of personal line. You know, once you get past that line, they say, well, I don't know about this. But this was definitely by far the most extreme example of someone doing that in a long time to the length that it affected other people. And it wasn't just like a couple of lines either. I mean, there was a lot of detail put into, there was a lot of thought put into, you know, coming out and saying all this shit.
And basically his rationale, as he described it, was you need two teams that you can trust, that can trust each other like 100% to train with, and that also like to do mid stage or mid tournament adaptations. Even if the other team is doing poorly, they need to be 100% committed to still be there and give their all. So you basically have to agree to split prizes. And if you're doing all of that, you know, it makes sense that if you are to play each other, to not give out your best setups. Because obviously the two of you are basically in it together at that point. And to just, like, basically play one match for real with not your best setups. And then based on those results, not give any like strong setups away and just like decide the winner based on that, which is exactly what they did. And it is a super shitty thing to do. That is, again, it's not like, oh, this is Eve, like, shouldn't you be able to be the bad guy? This specifically came up before, and CCP specifically said this is not okay, don't do it again. And they're just like, oh, we are specifically choosing to break this very clear rule that already got people removed from the tournament prior.
Now,
you idiot.
No, I'm looking
like
up
if you've got to be the best. If you're the best, but you can't be the best without cheating, then you're not the best. Like, okay, you beat the other teams in matches. That's great. I'm glad like you're cool with all of your accomplishments meaning nothing, because you just had to cheat. You couldn't not do it.
Well, to be, and not to defend or anything what they did, but what is, if I remember this correctly, the only match, I think, of the entire tournament, I mean, as a team, I mean, collusion aside, the only match of the tournament that Camel Empire actually lost was their the first one of the best of three against Pandemic Legion. I think PL was the only team that win against Camel that actually beat them in a match. I think they were completely undefeated the rest of the tournament, which, you know, regardless of anything else, is still pretty impressive.
Yeah, but we can go back. Very disappointing.
That's cool.
So at the end of the day, the captains of both teams were banned. One banned for a year, Kadesh banned permanently from entering the tournament. They weren't banned from EVE, as I understand it, just from the tournament.
But the other thing that really pissed a lot of folks off, or a lot of them off, made them sad, was that they're banned from the Amar Championships as well.
Yes, true. And all the ships, of course, were removed. All even ships sold or retroactively removed, you know. That's kind of harsh. But well-deserved.
The rules were broken and enforced, and Kiel is 5-time champions now.
Yep. And it's such a... I mean, even the PL thing, okay, good, they won. But, like, you would have to wonder how things would have played out differently.
Yeah, it sucks. I mean, it sucks. You really want to see... I mean, there's so much build-up to the final, you know, the final match, the final matches, and it's a lot of fun. I mean, it's a hell of a lot of fun to watch these things, especially the last couple of days. So whenever something like this happens, it kind of takes the wind out of your sails. And I'm kind of glad that we've got the MR Championships coming up, because that's going to be really, really interesting to see how that works out. Because there's a lot of folks who are, there are a lot of people, you know, individuals that are vying to be the captains of the various teams that are, they're within the same empire, they're within the same alliance. And it's going to be interesting to see how many of those folks end up fighting each other inside of that setup.
In other news, the CSM Summit got their meetings minutes released for day 4, and there's a lot of interesting stuff in there that I want to bring out and talk about a little bit. There was a big whine, basically, from the established 0-0 guys about the interdiction nullification on interceptors. Now, the interdiction nullification on Inties was an interesting design choice. It definitely has some drawbacks, but I think those drawbacks are there need to be more counters to ships that can instantly warp besides bubbles. Like, for instance, counters on when they land, or just ways to slow down warping ships without actually stopping them completely, those kinds of things. Rather than, you know, just, oh, they can warp through bubbles, so broken, so OP. The Inties are not very strong combat-wise, and it is super useful to be able to travel places quickly. And in fleets, they can be really great at doing certain things, which is cool. They have a very well-defined role. And the discussion of interceptors closed out with Sort Dragon asking what CCP's vision was behind these nullified interceptors. And CCP responded in what I think was the exact perfect way. They're intended to specialize in getting from point A to point B, whether for scouting, tackling, or light combat ability. Yes.
Yeah, and I have no problem with that. I mean, it's not like you're giving, you know, like something with a lot of firepower the ability to just roam around. I mean, even if you get like a dozen interceptors on a roam, that's still not an excessive amount of, you know, of juice. And they're primarily tackle, scout ships, and information gatherers. And for that kind of a ship, it makes sense that they should be able to get to where they're going. So, I mean, I remember when this change first came out, I felt like, well, yeah, that's cool. That kind of makes sense. Why not? And I like it. I don't have any issues with it. Maybe that's
weird. And they did get a slight agility nerf, so they're far less catchable than they were before. You really need to make a lot of fitting sacrifices to get your Inti uncatchable. So, I mean, maybe the better situation is to have, like, ships with dedicated bonuses for things like remote sensor boosters and remote ECCM, which we currently don't have in EVE, but would be a nice role to fill that could counter this kind of thing. You know, or maybe that's the direction that command ships should go. If they move to, like, on-grid links, maybe give them also some stuff to do with their mid slots that involves buffing other people directly. These are all great ideas. None of them involve nerfing the interceptors any further than they've already been.
Yep, yep.
Also, speaking of the command ships, there was talk about how to make Lynx be on grid, basically. And I have reps in here, but it should be Lynx.
Yeah, it's always been... I've been hearing that for 6-7 years now. I believe it when I see it.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice that they have some concrete design ideas now. It's been a long time, though, since they said that they were going to do it. It still hasn't gotten done. Their current two things that they were talking about, at least in the minutes, are some kind of smart bomb-like thing where it's a buff for a certain duration and it's constantly activated in that area. I like that better than the next one, which is a focused buff to a specific ship, like much like a remote sensor booster where you lock up a ship and click the thing. That's kind of cool in that it requires the person to be active, but it also blows in that there's no way you will get enough links on to scale your fleet well. And yeah, it's not as nice. I think for remote sensor boosters, remote ECCM, it makes more sense to do it the way it's done. Unless you plan on strongly buffing the links so that one ship that you're boosting is like a fucking god, then I don't really see the focused thing being super effective. But the smart bomb thing, sure, why not?
I remember at one point there was discussion about the fact that you can have one boosting ship boosting an entire fleet, and possibly that being scaled down to like, okay, you could only boost, you know, you'd have to have a booster in like each wing or something along those lines, and they would have to be on grid. But I'm not sure if they're, that's a lot of code to write, I guess. I just don't have faith that they're going to do it.
Yeah, they may not, but they are doing something, which is implementing a quote tribute system end quote to PvE. Basically a daily rewards kind of thing if you go out and complete a PvE complex. And then that's it.
Well, I missed that. What are they going to give people? Like
some kind of ISK amount. Exact numbers not discussed.
Okay.
Yeah,
good for them.
Okay, like, it's going to add more ISK into the economy, which I'm not a fan of, but I do understand that CCP needs something to increase the daily user count, and giving people an incentive to log in and
that's
do something undocked every day will do that.
And the largest single shard player versus player universe in existence, that's what they're going to do to get the PCU up. Okay.
Yep. Working in a software startup company right now, it's exactly that. Like, that's the kind of thing that you would incentivize to someone on like a mobile game or something like that. Every time you log in, we'll give you some in-game currency.
Oh God, just stop, please.
It's what it is.
I know, but it just... Oh God, I'm about to. You know,
it is what it is, man. It is what it is.
My cane around. Fucking warp to zero.
Wait, what?
That's a phrase that a lot of the new players use whenever, you know, the old timers start bitching about how easy the new guys have it. Warp to zero came in. That's when the game started getting too easy because you had stopped making bookmarks and stuff.
Well, my question is why? That's not even a question. I know exactly why they're putting it on the PvE people. But you know, would it also not be great to have that for PvP too? Like, destroy a non-rookie ship and you get a thing every day? Come on, guys. Like, if you're going to do it.
They're doing the kill mark thing now, which is kind of... I wonder how much time they've spent on that. The first couple of years that I played EVE, my wife looked at it and referred to it as the purple and red box game because that's all she ever saw. The first time she actually saw it, like an E video up close with like ships and lasers, she's like, oh, So that's what the game looks like, you know, because, you know, when you're in a big fight, you're normally not like right in front of, you know, let me see how many kill marks this guy has before we primary him.
I don't know. I mean, it's a nice personal vanity thing, but like, yeah, the scale of Eve, like you're almost never looking at someone else's ship. But I guess it has the same mentality as the skins, right?
No, skins are instant. You know, that's are important because I like those. I'm terrible. Coloring your ship is just like that's just something that should have been in the game years ago. I mean, I'm still mad that, you know, you still have to like go with their specific aesthetic, you know? It's like I want a police vagabond.
I'm cool with the skin thing that they're implementing. They're putting in some good ones. They just got to keep expanding the color palette to the extent that I would never want to create my own skin.
No, that'd be a terrible idea.
Give me the ability to make things black, white, blue, etc. You know. But if you're not gonna do that, then like really get creative, come up with a lot of color variations, keep putting them out, and just like League of Legends, I will empty my wallet, CCP. But again, I keep reiterating this, every podcast we talk about skins, allow corporations and alliances to be able to buy them at the alliance and corporation level.
Oh my god, yes! What the fuck, CCP? I mean, honestly,
cost whatever you want it to cost, yep. But I would love to be able to just go, oh, these blue tiger skins are great, this is going to be our new thing, guys. I'm going to drop 10 plex or whatever the fuck it is, and everyone in the corp gets the skin. For the duration that they're in the corp.
Damn right. Corp skins, alliance skins, whatever. We want it. Give it, please.
Geef.
I'm sure it's only one line of code.
I'm sure it's not. But it'll be worth it, because I guarantee you the corporations will drop hella amounts of money for it. Certain ones, anyway. Certain skins. And if you tie it to, like, players only being able to access them while they're in there, almost like a corp bookmark kind of thing. I think you'll still see a lot of personal sales as well for people that want to take that skin with them when they leave. Now you're sort of getting the players that weren't, you know, really into buying skins. You're giving them a taste, right? Just giving them a taste of it. But the alliance is still paying for it. It's great. Brilliant, you should do it.
I can tell that you do this shit for a living, man. You're selling this really well.
Book it, Gabe. Another cool piece that got in there was that faction warfare is going to be opened up to a four-way dance.
That was interesting, and that's another one of those things that is like, okay, this, yeah, I understand the storylines and the lore and everything, but they're finally doing something that might reinvigorate certain aspects of that whole thing.
Yeah, it's gone from like a tag team to a four-way dance, four-corner survival. That's kind of cool. Anything to reinvigorate faction warfare, I think, is great. There's going to be some storyline stuff attached to this as well. Should be interesting to read. They're also going to add NPC patrols to faction warfare, and just a cool world-building thing of when convoys and these patrols come across each other, which I guess they will through some kind of random chance, they will fight each other. So you'll have NPCs shooting NPCs.
Yeah, Alec, were you playing, like, did you play EVE early enough to where there used to actually be, like, NPC convoys, like, leaving the stations and stuff that you could, like, actually shoot and raid?
Say that again? I don't think I would have been.
Yeah, I remember in the really early days, and I mean, this may have even been back in 04 or 03 or in early 04, but there used to actually be like little convoys of like little bestowers and things like that that would like leave the stations. I don't know if they were.
Yeah,
like,
I've seen them. I've seen those around, but I never really. I mean, I tried shooting one once and I didn't really get any good drops, so I pretty much started ignoring them.
Yeah, I think. I mean, I don't think that they ever were like worth much of anything, but are the. Those aren't still around, are they? They killed all that off a while back, I'd imagine. I just remember seeing them a long time ago.
I haven't seen one recently. I don't know if they're completely gone.
I mean, if they're going to do like the Drifters and the Amar Navy and everything just randomly running into each other and all that shit, that'd be kind of neat.
And finally, for the next set of minutes, they're looking for a lighter NDA touch, which I think will be very welcome to all involved. Except for maybe CCP, but they can get over it.
Well, I'd be curious to see what that exactly means. Granted, they've been... I'm amazed at the speed that they've been getting these minutes out. And the whole... the amount of transparency that we've seen, I don't think a lot of people really understand exactly how transparent things have gotten in the last couple of years compared to other MMO makers who just kind of just throw the shit on you and say, like, just deal with it. And there's actually been quite a bit of back and forth over the past year or so with what CCP's been doing.
Yep. I mean, it's definitely better than most other places. Still, you know, especially with the rapid release cycle that they've got going on now, like the minutes could be a lot more descriptive than they currently are. Although these ones were not too bad. I don't want to make that blanket generalization. But, I mean, generally speaking, nowadays compared to previous, the CSM minutes are a lot less interesting to read, both because there's not a lot of new information in them, because things are coming out so fast, but also because, like, a lot of the opinions and discussion is heavily summarized and edited instead of having the color and personality that it used to.
Yeah, agreed. Now you're getting what amounts to kind of like a summarized transcript as opposed to kind of more of a detailed walkthrough of what happened in the session. And yeah, that's the price you pay for, you know, the speed at which these things come out. And I mean, there's pros and cons to each side, but I think we get enough information out of what they're doing now, but I do miss a little bit more of, as you say, kind of like the color of what they were before previously.
All right, some updates about Noir. Still an MC, despite all odds. We have a new logo. New logo. The link is in the show notes. Basically, it's the Noir Mercenary Group logo with updated effects and updated text. But we really like the basic design of that. We wanted to keep it, but a new artist got a hold of it, and obviously they needed to change the font up top to accommodate the more letters and the different lettering. So that was done, and while they were in there, they're like, oh, well, why don't I just redo this blood splatter to make it look even better? And it definitely does. It looks damn good.
Yeah, I like the brief that you gave on how things are going to be changing in the way you guys are doing stuff, and it's very nice. And I think I already said to you, I said in reply to that don't be shocked if you see some people emulating what you're doing.
Well, that kind of brings me to my other point. Like, the reason we did the updated logo is because we've completely redone our recruitment process. If you're thinking of flying to Noir Noir Academy, it is now much faster and easier than ever before. We did a whole bunch of stuff, and then I like collected it all into a post on the MC forums to encourage the other corps in MC to like do their own corporate level things to make themselves more badass. Like, doesn't have to be what we're doing, but you know, the Alliance moves at the Alliance's pace. Corps, because they're smaller and have more control over themselves, can do their own things, and that means different stuff to different corps. So I'm collecting all the stuff that we're doing, and I'm going to post these experiences up onto the forums, and hopefully it inspires somebody to do something that makes their own corp better, fixes a long-standing problem they've had, or come up with a new idea, a new initiative to make corp life more exciting. And I hope that they post their own stories as well. So here's the stuff that we did for recruitment. We have a brand new recruitment portal. You can check it out at the link down there. Eventually, noirmercs.com will be pointing to it. It's not pointing at it right now, but it will. I think the current URL is bespokenelements.com, which is just a temp thing that our artist put on for us. But yeah, the link is in the thing. I encourage you to check it out. It's great. It's got Noir. It's got Noir Academy all in the one spot. In terms of our usual recruitment post on the EVE Online forums and on the Mercenary Coalition forums, we took a hatchet to it and cut out as many words as possible. I think we cut out about half a page off the post just to make it smoother, faster to read through, etc. Less reading, more applying was the thoughts. The recruitment portal was great because it's gone from like creating an account on our website, logging in, and then going three clicks to get to our forum where you had to copy and paste the application into a reply, or excuse me, into an original topic, and then create that topic. Who needs all that shit? You know what, I got time for that? So now it's just you go to this thing, it's one click, it takes you into a Google form that has everything that you need, and then you press one click to apply and you're done, which is awesome. The application itself, we pulled out a bunch of questions that weren't really doing anything. They weren't really giving us like crucial information about the person, like what time zone they're in. And at the same time, we've like never ever rejected someone over what they put in those things. So we took those questions out and we put in questions from our text interview that we used to do, like the really important ones. And then we got rid of the text interview altogether, and now it's just you come hang out with us on TS for a couple minutes, and we sort of get a feel for you as a player and as a person. And finally, we have a bot now in Slack. Every time a new applicant applies through the portal, we get pinged so we can check it immediately instead of having to wait for people to go check the forums and like the first director to happen to notice it can process it. This will hopefully lead to less wait times for people, which was a problem with our old system. So yeah, that's all that stuff in one go. It was an interesting process. It took us about 3 weeks. We wanted to make sure everything worked, was pixel and word perfect as much as possible. And it's the hope that this, combined with a few of the other things that we're going to be coming out with in the next couple weeks, will just, you know, get rid of the crust and rust that sort of built up in Noir over the years. You know, we're an almost 8-year-old corp now. We've been around for a while. We've been doing things a certain way for a long time. That doesn't mean they're always the best way. And if no other corp is, Noir is definitely committed to always finding a better way to do things. And we're hoping this addresses a lot of the problems with our old system. And so far, it's going well. Well, thank you for your praise, Celine. It means a lot, and I hope the other corps do follow suit in their own way, you know?
Well, the corps kind of all, I think that it took everybody a little bit while to get settled into the Alliance, and, you know, the mentality starting to take hold, and I know that, you know, like, License to Kill is drawn heavily from, like, the EVE Uni guys. Corelli's got their fingers in about 3 or 4 different pies. Noir, everyone who's had anything to do or know about the Merc scene over the last several years knows what you guys are about. And, you know, combining those corps underneath the MC flag has, I think, is generating interest from a lot of different directions. And there are a few other corps out there that have started to take notice. I mean, that God knows there's enough alliances imploding out there that are looking for a new home, possibly a new purpose, way of doing things. I've had conversations with people over the last few weeks where, you know, you look at all of the various, you know, large alliances out there, and there's this huge discussion as to, you know, what's there to do? What are our goals? What are our purposes and everything else? And one of the comments I heard a few days ago was that, well, the only alliances out there that really know what the fuck they're doing right now are the ones that are like they're building things up, you know, they're rebuilding or whatever. And that's the environment that MC is in right now. And, you know, every week it seems like there's something new going on. So I think it's an attractive environment for a lot of pilots, both old and new. And I'm pretty sure that the other corps are going to take a look at what you've done and see the value in it, because cutting out some of the red tape and getting people in and flying next to each other is definitely a step in the right direction instead of a prolonged and complicated recruitment process, which I've definitely done in the past. And there are advantages to just getting people next to you and seeing what they can do, as opposed to subjecting them to, the DNA sample and all of that other stuff.
Even if you put them through that, sometimes they still don't work out. You know what I mean?
Oh, God, so, I know.
For me, it was a question of like, okay, what do we really want to know about these people before we give them a shot? Because that's ultimately what it comes down to. You're just giving them a shot. You don't know if they're going to be for sure. It's not like a real life company where you can put them through face-to-face interviews over and over again and like have your thing take 2 or 3 weeks and then sign them to contracts with money so they actually do what they're supposed to do. Doesn't work like that. It's a fucking video game. So you need to be fast, and you need to be able to determine pretty quickly, like, is there a better than 50-50 shot this person's going to work out? And if it's not, then okay, don't invite them. If it is, then bring them in and see what they can do. And if they can't do it, if they can't hang or they're really annoying, kick them out. So we're just trying to get to that place faster. All right, speaking of websites, our other sponsor, eveservers.info. Stop trusting random third parties with your data. It's fucking Eve, for God's sakes. With eveservers.info, you and only you have access to your corp and alliance information. It's a site basically dedicated to InfoSec in Eve. It's a fully functioning, professionally built server, complete API integration with simple setup. It's everything you need to deploy Eve services like TeamSpeak, forums, Jabber and instant messaging, various other corp management tools, without a lot of headache and without worrying about like a pandemic legion type looking over your data and figuring out, you know, when you're going to move your super fleet. So if you want more information, email eveservers@gmail.com and check out their website, eveservers.info. Final piece of news, we don't really have the time in this show to super go into it, but I think it did bear some mention since we are a mercenary news podcast. Mercenary Alliance Forsaken Asylum has folded. These guys were high-sec specialists. You could liken them to a less autistic version of Marmite Collective.
Wow.
I apologize to everyone out there suffering from autism. That really wasn't fair to make that comparison.
That is a backslap and a backhand at the same sentence.
If there's a more crippling disease that I could mention, I would probably throw it in there. So Marmite Collective has a certain reputation. There are always a lot of corps going in and out of the high-sec merc game. Forsaken Asylum had managed to establish themselves as a pretty solid alternative to them, like a couple other alliances like Pursuit of Happiness. But unfortunately, there was a lot of internal drama happening, as is quite common sometimes in the high-sec merc scene where everybody knows everybody and they often have no one to fight but each other. And unfortunately, the drama overtook the alliance. Key Corps left, and then it just sort of deflated from there. Very unfortunate, but that is sometimes the way it goes. And I do want to give a shout-out to the high-sec mercs. They've been fighting the good fight for a long time now. Even if I don't particularly like some of them, they do get tons of kills and have a lot of fun, which is the goal of Eve. So, with that, guys, that was Declarations of War. Head to declarationsofwar.com to put in for our poll. You know that we're going to have one. And, of course, you can leave a comment on this episode. If you're going to reach Noir, you can reach us at CafeNoir.com, our public channel in-game, with link to the brand new recruitment forum, or excuse me, the recruitment portal. So if you want to give that a check, even if you don't plan on applying, we'd love you to go take a look and tell us what you think. And with that, good hunting, listeners.
I want a drug called Charm Machine. It's not available. If you try it once, you will die. Your face will melt off. You control them and weep over your toilet body. Over your toilet body. You love to party. What's not to love? The role I was on made Dagger and Richard look like droopy-eyed armless children. That's how I party. That's how I party. I was banging 7 gram rocks. That's how I roll. Winning. I had one gear. Go. Epic. Winning.
Are you bipolar?
I'm bi.
Winning.
Went near.
Went there.
Went
everywhere.
Where?
Absolute victory.
Everywhere.
Where?
I'm on a quest.
We're gonna win everywhere.
Right every single wrong.
Right every wrong.
I'm a total freaking rock star from Mars.
Winning. Come on, bro.
I got taco blood.
Winning.
Bottle my brain and be like, dude, can't handle it.
Went near,
went there,
went
everywhere.
I've got a list, got me sore this. From the epic win to the desperate that win this. Chicken nugget,
bidding.
Bubblegum,
bidding.
Pretending to text to avoid someone.
Epic bidding.
Slow dancing,
bidding.
Slow pants,
bidding.
Breaking the rules of the Geneva Convention.
Weak.
Adonis blood,
bidding.
Violent love,
bidding.
Giving needed women caresses and hugs.
Epic bidding.
Childbirth,
bidding.
Calling birth,
bidding.
Take your weakest first.
Duh.
Winning,
winning. I was banging 7 gram rocks. That's how I roll.
Winning.
I had one gear. Go.
Epic.
Winning.
Are you bipolar?
I'm bi.
Winning.
Went near.
Went there.
Went everywhere.
I'm a total freaking rock star from Mars.
Winning.
Come on, bro.
I got taco blood.
Winning.
He bottled my brain and be like, dude, can't handle it.
Went near.
Went there.
Went
everywhere.
Where?
I was banging 7 gram rocks. That's how I roll. I have one gear.